are Locked On Big 12, your daily podcast on the Big 12 Conference, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everybody. Josh Neighbors here for the Locked On Big 12 podcast here on June 29th, 2021. And on today's show, we discuss TCU basketball in a bit of hot water right now with the NCAA. And then we discuss the SEC Big 12 Challenge schedule, which was released last week. And then we'll touch on NIL, too, which is coming up in 2 days. NIL is going to become a thing. And let's get ready for it, talk about what states are in place, what rules the NCAA has now put out as well, how it affects Big 12 schools. All right, so we start with the latest news in the Big 12, and this comes from TCU. Mark Schlabaugh over ESPN writes the headline, NCAA gives TCU Horned Frogs 3 years probation over former assistant coach. He says the NCAA Committee on Infractions on Tuesday placed TCU's men's basketball program on 3 years of probation and issued a 5-year show cause for a former Horned Frogs assistant coach who was accused of accepting $6,000 during an undercover FBI sting. TCU fired former assistant Corey Barker in March 2019 after he was accused of meeting aspiring business manager Kristen Dawkins and others in a Las Vegas hotel room in July 2017. The federal government alleged Barker accepted the money to steer TCU players towards Dawkins' fledgling sports management business. Quote, government recordings, which were evidence in federal court and included the infractions in the case, show that during the meeting, the coach touted his relationships with certain student-athletes and the prospects who had NBA potential, giving the impression that he could steer those players to the management company when they turn pro, end quote, the NCAA ruling said. Dawkins testified during a federal criminal trial that Barker returned the money to him shortly after the Vegas meeting. Barker was never charged with a crime. The NCAA ruling said Barker also facilitated a phone call between Dawkins and a student-athlete's father, another meeting with a different basketball player as well. Barker told Dawkins that the meeting would be a, quote, layup for you, end quote, according to the NCAA. So these penalties, obviously, the committee classified the case level one mitigated for the school and level one aggregated for Barker. During the five-year show cause, any NCAA member school that hires him must restrict him from any athletically related duties unless it shows cause why the restrictions should not apply. So obviously probation, it can mean several things. They're going to have a restriction probably on scholarships. It's going to be a lot more difficult for TCU. You guys know the deal. For full coverage on this, go to Locked On Horned Frogs. Stephen Simcox will definitely have more on this. So go check out him there. And for Jamie Dixon, you know, it's a tough job at TCU. It's going to get a little bit tougher now with this news coming down against TCU with the restrictions, the probation that will come, the show cause penalty that is happening too. So this is obviously not good news. And once again, I encourage you guys to go over to Locked On Horned Frogs to go find out more and kind of get the TCU reaction from what's happening. All right, so also in college hoops news, the SEC Big 12 Challenge, the schedule is out for 2021. And so, or 2022 rather. This schedule came out for the 2022 Big 12 SEC Challenge, which takes place normally during the conference schedule, right? You know, you guys see this game, which is the weird part of it, but it normally takes place in the middle of the conference season, which is always odd to see these kind of, you know, these non-conference games being played. I do kind of like that. I do think they could do this on a weekend during the conference schedule, but I have to be honest, it is fun to have these kind of matchups on the side happening at the same time. So for this contest, we don't have TV times, we don't have tip times, but we do have a schedule. And this game is, this contest, you know, the entire thing, the SEC Big 12 Challenge, is going to be headlined by Kentucky and Kansas. Those two teams are going to meet at Rupp Arena. The last time these two teams saw each other was the Champions Classic in 2020. And in that game, Kentucky lost to Kansas. So Kansas gets the win 65-62. These two teams also have met as a part of the SEC Big 12 Challenge. They did that last in 2019, where Kentucky won at Rupp Arena. And then they also have done this twice before in the SEC Big 12 Challenge before that year. So three total times will be the fourth in the SEC Big 12 Challenge. All-time, it is Kentucky 23, Kansas 10 in the all-time series. But next year, obviously, we'll be watching very closely to see what happens with KU. Kentucky needs a desperate bounce back for next year, but that's always going to be a big-time headline. And according to Jeff Borzello here of ESPN.com, in his way too early top 25 for next season, he's got the Kansas Jayhawks coming in at number 8 and projecting their lineup-wise. He believes it's going to be Remy Martin, Christian Brown, Oshai Agbaji, Jalen Wilson, and David McCormick. Thought there being that Oshai Agbaji probably returns, and also kind of after reading what we've seen after Oshai Agbaji's combine, his NBA draft combine, probably best move for him to return to school. I know that I had talked to Raphael Barlow, who does NBA draft stuff here for Locked On, and he said that Oshai is actually a guy to him that his game translates better to the NBA than it does in college just because he's going to be a three-point shooter. He's going to be a more defensive-minded guy. And so maybe them trying to use him as a primary scorer like they did this year is not going to be the best move. So, you know, for them and him in college at least. And look, I think with adding Remy Martin, they don't have to, but they're going to rely on him some. This year, but I really am interested to see if they can throw out Remy Martin, Agbaji, Wilson, and McCormick, and then if Christian Brown can give them some consistency, and they can bring Jalen Coleman Lands off the bench too. They're going to be in a pretty good position. Oh yeah, they also brought in Joseph Yesufu too. So Yesufu is going to be somebody that I think at this point they could bring off the bench. Honestly, if they want to, they can shift Brown to the bench and then bring off Yesufu, make Yesufu a starter. They've got a lot of options next year, and this team is just reloading some of its depth. I know it was not one of their best seasons, Kansas, last year. They got absolutely thumped in the NCAA tournament by USC. But this is a team that I think can reload, like we talked about. Kentucky, on the other hand, they're going to be bringing in a lot of really good players. Sevier Wheeler, from Georgia is going to come in for them. Ty Washington, a top 100 recruit. They bring in Kellen Grady from Davidson. Keon Brooks comes back for them. And also, former Big 12 man Oscar Tshiebwe is going to be joining the fray, too. So after losing Brandon Boston, Olivier Saar, Isaiah Jackson, and Devin Askew, who now is at Texas, they're going to, I think this Kentucky team is going to be one that, look, it always takes them time to gel, but this is going to be in January, not early in the season. So I'm glad this matchup is happening later on so we can really see where these two teams actually stack up, because I think with that, they're going to be able to gel more. I think that's the one thing we don't really discuss about transferring is that with these transfers, especially in college basketball, it's going to take them a lot more time to gel together. And I think Chris Beard, we'll talk about in a second, but I think he's an example of not always getting his teams to gel completely together. They're short in kind of fits and starts and splashes, but not consistently showing it all the way. And I'm talking about save that 2019 season or the championship run. The team they had the next year really never put it all the way together right. That's why they had to play Texas basically in that game that was canceled. It was kind of almost a loser misses the tournament type match. That's because that Texas Tech team never really put it together all the way. Last year's Texas Tech team, great example too. They never really put it together all the way. And that's what happens when you have a lot of guys coming from different places. I think that's the challenge now coaches are going to have to deal with is getting these guys coming from different places. And these two rosters are good example. I would say that Kansas has the edge because all of these guys are either returning players or guys who have played at some level. So that team that KU is going to have, it's going to be an experienced group as opposed to a team like Kentucky where they bring in, a Ty Washington to get there, a guy like Kellen Grady who's going to come from Davidson, right? Sevier Wheeler from Georgia and Tshiebwe from West Virginia. They're going to have that team. I mean, at this point, four of their projected starting five could end up being guys who were not there last year. Kansas, I think, is going to have the benefit of maybe even putting out 3 to 4 guys, right? Depending on how that roster shakes up, they have a chance to put out 4 guys who are starters or who are guys that contributed in some capacity to last year's team. So I think, early would say, KU, you bet they would gel faster, but those Kentucky teams, you never really know. So it's going to be a great matchup. We always love that. Jeff Borzello has Kentucky at 9 in his preseason rankings. And as I mentioned before, he's got KU right there at number 4 in his preseason rankings. Another compelling storyline, and for my money, the most compelling storyline, a game that I want to see the most at this point in time. It's a far way off at right now, but it's going to be Rick Barnes and his Tennessee Volunteers returning to Texas. Now, this is the first time that Rick Barnes has been to Texas since he was let go in 2015. Since then, he's had a lot of success in Tennessee. Not saying Texas has not had success, but obviously Shaka Smart leaving to go to Marquette shows that, you know, really at this point, that's not, you know, it hasn't worked out the way that they hoped it would at this point in time. So I think that's a really intriguing matchup with Tennessee and Texas. And you look at what Jeff Borzello has next year. He believes that the Texas Longhorns are going to be a team to fear and to reckon with. He's at them 14 in his preseason rankings. This is the team that is going to be one of those that I think they like the fact that they got a couple of those guys back, right? Ramey and Jones coming back is going to be really important for them, but they bring in Devin Askew. They bring in Timmy Allen, who's a 17-point-a-game scorer from Utah. They bring in Christian Bishop from Creighton. They bring back Brock Cunningham as well, and they bring in Dylan Dissu from Vanderbilt. So they've got a lot of guys coming in next season. Once again, the key for them is going to be, can you get them to gel together? Can you get them to play well together? And that's a challenge that Chris Beard is going to have to meet, because I think on the recruiting, you know, side of things, this wasn't a great class that Chris Beard is going to bring in. I mean, they only have, for this incoming season, it technically says one commit, and that's kind of what happens when you've got to deal with, you know, all the transferring, or excuse me, the moving of the coach with Shaka Smart, right? That's kind of one of the features of that situation. So they're going to bring in, obviously, Bishop, Dissu, Timmy Allen, and Devin Askew, right? And that's a lot of talent. Not all those transfers are going to hit, as always, but he's also got the luxury of getting Courtney Ramey and Andrew Jones back, we believe. So that's going to be a benefit for them. Tennessee, though, is going to have a really good team next year. Despite the fact that they lost a good amount off this team, obviously the two top guys that they lose, they're still able to bring back a bunch from last year. Victor Bailey, Josiah Jordan James, and John Fulkerson are all guys that are going to return for them. And Justin Powell is a transfer from Auburn, who's a pretty decent scorer, and also Kennedy Chandler, too. Good recruiting class for Tennessee. So this is a good matchup, and we'll see where those two teams are at, because those are two teams that are going to have a lot of talent, a lot of good players in those two teams next year. We'll see where they're at that point. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll look at the rest of the matchups in the SEC Big 12 Challenge. But first, a word from our sponsors. Today's Locked On Big 12 podcast is brought to you by our friends at rockauto.com. Rockauto.com is the best place to find all the parts you'll need for your car or truck. They've got thousands of parts from hundreds of manufacturers. You go to rockauto.com today. You can find all those parts. You'll pay up to 30, 50, maybe even 100% less than you would if you went to a chain store to find your parts. Go to rockauto.com right now. See all those parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box. That way they know we sent you. Amazing selection, always low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. That's rockauto.com. All right, so also on the ledger for this is LSU and TCU, which is just kind of a weird matchup. We'll see where both those teams are at as we move forward. Mississippi State and Texas Tech. Missouri is back in it against Iowa State, which is obviously going to be going through their transition now to having TJ Otzelberger as the head coach. And then a bunch of other good matchups. Baylor and Alabama is one that I think all of us should be very excited to see. Baylor, your reigning national champions for the year 2021. And you think about what Baylor is going to have back this season. Yes, they're going to be losing a lot. But the good news is they're going to get Maceo Teague coming back. They're going to have Adam Flagler coming back. They're going to add James Akinjo from Arizona. They're going to bring in Kendall Brown, a top 100 player last year. And then Jonathan Chamwa-Chachwa, too, is going to be another big part of this team. Defense is going to be the order of the day. Obviously, it always is for Baylor Bears teams. And you think about what Alabama is doing. They're going to lose, obviously, some of the guys they had last year. Joshua Primo is going to be in the first round for sure. But they bring back Javon Quinterly. They bring back Jaden Shackelford. And then they're also going to have some top 100 guys coming in too. So we always want to see, at this point in time, I think we're all curious what Nate Oates is going to do for his follow-up act after that great season the Crimson Tide had last year. We're going to get some answers with that this year. And this game, I think, especially in this month of January, is going to be a great barometer, a great test for really how far this team has come. Next matchup, West Virginia and Arkansas. And I'm really curious to see what Bob Huggins' team is going to bring back next year. He's got a lot. There's a lot that he's got to figure out with the guys in the draft and whatnot. So there's kind of a lot of moving parts. Arkansas is a team that last year we saw Eric Musselman, the Muss Bus. They got it rolling. They're going to have a lot of transfers. That's just kind of how this team works. They're going to bring in Chris Likes from Miami, Odyssey Tony from Pittsburgh, Stanley Umude from South Dakota. And then you've got the likes of JD Notte, Devo Davis, and Jalen Williams all returning for them this year. They've also added Jackson Robinson and Trey Wade on this team. So Arkansas-West Virginia is going to be a good matchup. The pace in that game is going to be something to watch. Oklahoma State and Florida, we'll see what Oklahoma State can do this season without Cade Cunningham. But I still think that Oklahoma State has a chance to have a really nice team despite losing Cade Cunningham. So they've got a chance to still have a really good squad, in my opinion, to going up against Florida. Oklahoma and Auburn, this will be a great chance for us to check out what we're going to get this season from Oklahoma. Obviously, they add Porter Mosier. That's something that a lot of us, are curious about to see what's that look like, right? They lose likes of Brady Manick and Davion Harmon, but they've added some transfers too. So that team is going to be a new look team against Auburn, who is always fierce. Kansas State and Ole Miss is the last matchup. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we will discuss NIL. It's right around the corner. And what does that mean for some of these Big 12 schools? Talk about that in a second. But first, a word from our sponsors. Today's Locked On Big 12 podcast is brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting, best for you protein bar in the game to get today. Go to BuiltBar.com today to check out all of their available flavors. There are 9 of them right now, so go to BuiltBar.com. There really is something for everybody there. You can also check out their Built Boost as well as their Built Go, things that help you get through the day, power through whatever it is you need to power through. Go there right now, BuiltBar.com. Check all of those things out. Use that promo code LOCKED15, that's LOCKED15, LOCKED15, for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. All right, so NIL is going to be coming here in a couple of days. It's just 2 days away here as we are doing this on the 29th. And so the states that have NIL legislation. Here is a rundown on the states. Iowa, which obviously applies to Iowa State, they have a bill that has been introduced. And they are trying to get it was introduced. It's supposed to be effective July 1, but it's just been introduced. It is not through all the way yet. Then you go to Kansas. Kansas has a bill that has passed the House. It's set for 1-2-2022. So obviously it's set to take place then, but I bet that gets adjusted. It just passed the House at this point in time. Other states in the conference that have had this at this point in time, Oklahoma has had a bill signed into law. It goes into effect July 1, I believe. So they're going to be good on that front. Oklahoma and Oklahoma State are taken care of. Texas has had their bill signed into law, so they're good on that front. West Virginia, they've had a bill introduced. No real dates on that front. So all of these states are really right now kind of at different points. Now, the NCAA did kind of release a statement yesterday, and kind of the way it puts it, I'm reading an article here from NBC Sports, and I think it's the right way to put it, from Mike Florio. Not always agree with Mike Florio, but he said the NCAA has kind of waved the white flag on this issue, and this is via the Sports Daily, Business Daily. They've said the NCAA has decided to wisely throw its hands in the air and allow schools to make their own decisions about the question of whether and to what extent athletes may generate revenue from their name, image, and likeness. It's the only thing the NCAA could have done in the wake of this week's NIL enactment laws in multiple states and last week's ruling from the Supreme Court. So the NCAA is going to punt to the schools, essentially, at this point, with what they're going to do when it comes to NIL. And the NCAA made a statement about this. They really do want the schools to handle this. This coming from now at CBS News, rather. It says the NCAA Division I Council on Monday voted to recommend that the Division I Board of Directors adopt an interim name, image, and likeness policy for student athletes when the board convenes on Wednesday. The vote comes after name, image, and likeness laws, which will allow student-athletes to monetize themselves, are set to go into effect on Thursday in 7 states. Currently, student-athletes are banned by the NCAA from making money off activities and events like autograph signings, endorsements, and personal appearances. The new laws and the recommended interim policy would remove those restrictions. The council recommended that the board allow student-athletes to, quote, engage in NIL activities that are consistent with the law of the state, quote, where their school is located. In an effort to not give schools in states with NIL laws a clear recruiting advantage, the recommended guidance also allows for student-athletes who attend schools in states without NIL laws to, quote, engage in this type of activity without violating NCAA rules related to name, image, and likeness. So, you know, you think about, oh, well, there's no state law. They're good to go. Yeah, I mean, the NCAA is the only one to actually enforce these rules, right? The whole point of passing laws in states is to override the NCAA, because the NCAA is not an actual governing body. They you know, not a body that can override a state government or a federal government, right? So that's the whole point, is saying, hey, look, we override you. These guys, these athletes may do this, and they will not violate any of your laws, right? And so that's why the states individually have passed this, and that's why the NCAA has now responded in this way. And look, we're only 2 days out from NIL. We're going to see what happens with that moving forward. I really think it's going to be an interesting start. We've seen guys like Graham Mertz put out logos. We've seen guys like Connor Bazelak from Missouri put a message out and saying, hey, look, you know, I'm kind of open for business. If you'd like to reach out to me, you can. So I think we just kind of have to wait and see. And look, the rules in this are going to develop as we go. And do not get mad. Once again, do not get mad at the players when this stuff seems a little bit out of control at all, because you know what? It's not their fault that this is not being regulated. The rules should have been made up, and the NCAA should have been on top of this, crafting and cultivating policies and rules that would make sense, but they really sat in their thumbs and did not do that fast enough. So when we kind of move forward here and you think this is the wild, wild west, do not point the finger at the student athletes. Point the finger at the NCAA for not getting off their asses and doing something in time. All right, that will do it for today's show. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at LLBig12. You can follow me at Josh Neighbors_. Until next time, my friends, as always, stay safe.